So we're going to do just a few verses this evening in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, this chapter begins with Jesus being confronted with some current events, with some people being slain at the temple while they're offering sacrifices by Pilate, and their blood mingled with the sacrifices. And of course, Jesus, he takes this and his response to the people that bring this to him is a question. You guys think that those who were killed were worse sinners than you? Worse sinners in all of Galilee? But his message to them was, no. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And then he talked about a tower that fell there in Jerusalem, killed 18 people. And you guys think those were worse sinners. That's why they died. That's what you think. No, I tell you, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And we talked about the call of repentance. How the call of repentance, how repentance is that response of a person to the working of God and the working of faith in their life. It is that reaction to coming to realization of a holy God and I'm a sinner. And so there's a change of mind that results in a change of action. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, Luke includes a parable. Now, this parable is only in the Gospel of Luke. And it is immediately following Jesus' call for repentance to the crowd of people that are surrounding him as he's teaching. You have to ask the question as a student of the scriptures, why is this here? Why is the Spirit inspiring Luke to include this parable of the Lord in conjunction with the call for repentance? Let me tell you the parable. There's a certain man, he had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he didn't find any. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Just cut it down. Why trouble it, the ground? And he, the vine dresser, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and fertilize it, dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if it not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. It can be a bit perplexing as you think about it, right? What is he saying? Isn't there more to this, Luke? How are we to understand this? You know, sometimes the parables bring about a sense of mystery. We look at them and we read them initially and we're like, okay, I can follow the story. I can get the scene. But why does Jesus tell this? As we think of this story, I want you to remember that Jesus has just exhorted these people, repent. Repent. You need to repent. I want to remind you of John the Baptist when he was sent upon the earth, a forerunner of Jesus. He preached a message, a gospel of repentance. A calling forth, listen, there is one who is coming who will save you from your sin. I am come to prepare the way. Repent. The message of repentance is focused on Jesus. The power of Jesus' life, death, burial and resurrection. And as we celebrate it tonight with the Lord's Supper, It has the power to forgive sins. Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sins through his blood. And as we hear this parable of this fig tree that bears no fruit, the owner of the vineyard says, let's just cut it down. I've been back here 3 years. That is, the first year he's counting is the first year when this fig tree should have borne fruit. No fruit. So we'll wait another year. A little bit of study I did on these fig trees is that this can happen to a fig tree, and it is beneficial to fertilize and help fig trees along. And so there's 2 years that pass and 3 years now, and this fig tree has nothing on it. And so the patience and the long suffering of this owner is past. We're just going to cut it down. It's wasting this precious space in my vineyard. Keeping in mind that you have a garden, you have a vineyard, you have a field. Why? To bear fruit. To produce. And this fig tree is taking up valuable real estate. Let's just cut it down. As a listener to Jesus saying this, it is very likely that their mind might have gone to their own hearts, causing them to consider what Jesus had just said about, listen, you need to repent, otherwise you will all likewise perish. There ought to be in your life, as a result of hearing the truth from me, fruit of repentance. Where is it? Where is that? How is your life different as a result of interacting with me and the truth? I believe the purpose of this parable is to push the spiritual finger into the gut of people and to cause them to consider their own hearts, and am I bearing fruit? The nation of Israel, Jesus has come into it and largely has found it barren, not responding to God and his work. Now, largely the leadership is to blame, yes. But when we think about Jesus' ministry upon the earth these several years and the following that he has being so small, it is interesting to realize there, this land, this nation, these people appears to be barren and fruitless. One of the titles I might have for this parable is a parable of a merciful delay in judgment. The mercy of God. Because in this parable, what happens is the owner comes and says, cut it down. But the vine dresser, what does he say to the owner? Can we give it one more year? Let's give it another year. But not only does he say that, what does he do? He commits himself to working the soil. He commits himself to fertilizing that ground. He commits himself to personal investment into that tree. The vine dresser says, Lord, verse 8, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. Personal responsibility he takes. And he says, and then if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And what I see here is God's mercy. You see, Jesus Christ personally invested his life into the people. And in very real sense, he has personally invested his life into you and me. I love this truth that my God was long-suffering enough to give me an opportunity to come to him. Jesus here has just rebuked these people for saying, these are all worse sinners than me. Oh, no, no, no. Except you also repent, you shall likewise perish. The attitude of people is that of criticism and judgment for everybody else, to the neglect of their own heart condition and to their own fruitlessness, their own barrenness. And what I see here is God's mercy. And I see in this parable, as a listener, as Jesus shares this after hearing this call for repentance, I hear, cut it down. Okay. No, 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 no. Wait. Let's give it another chance. I'll personally invest. So here we are. And the question is, are we bearing fruit? Are we as a church barren or fruitful? As the Lord looks upon us as an assembly, what does he find? As he looks upon you as an individual in your life, what does he find? In the very fact that God gives us another day and it gives us another chance that we might live out this heart of repentance that perhaps God is working in our hearts even tonight. Praise be to God for his mercy. Praise be to God for the Lord's personal investment into the life of his people. For his continued teaching and confronting of sin, for his giving of his own life, that we might be saved. Tonight, may we rejoice in God's mercy, but realize the seriousness of the call for repentance, because there is coming a day for judgment. There is coming a day when God will no longer wait. And this, the Bible shares that in the book of Revelation. There is coming an end. There is coming judgment. There is coming a time when you stand before the Lord. And if you have trusted, if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, that is a day of grave condemnation and sent into an eternal place of suffering called the lake of fire. There is coming that day. But we're still here. God's giving us another day. God's working in our hearts and our lives even tonight. And if you feel God's call and nudge in your life for repentance, for a need to change your heart and change your mind, listen, respond to the working of God and his Spirit in your heart tonight. That's what true repentance is. This is not just something I'm going to change so I look good to the rest of the people around me. No, this is because God is at work in me and I need to be right before him. God is looking for good fruit. This goes well with what Jesus told his disciples that night he was betrayed in John chapter 15. Using that whole vine and the branches illustration, if you remember. Jesus Christ being that vine, we are the branches. Those that bear fruit, he prunes them. But those who do not bear fruit are cut off and burned. So are you bearing fruit that the Lord would look upon you and be satisfied, be pleased, fruit of repentance. Responding to the working of God by faith. Does this characterize you tonight? Yes, God, I thank you for this call, for this vivid illustration that you give to your people. And I thank you for how well this coincides with our celebration, the Lord's Supper, tonight. For Lord Jesus, you invested it all that we might be saved. We thank you. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace. And I pray, Lord, your blessing would be upon each and every one of us in this place tonight. And that, God, we would be a people serious about our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.